One of the most important parts of our Christmas celebration is singing Christmas carols. Christmas carols give us the words to express our praise and thanks for the mystery of the incarnation. We sing songs like, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, and joy to the world, the Lord is come." Songs like these and others, they give us the words to express our praise as we consider the wonder of the incarnation, that the Word became flesh, that God became a human, that he became a baby. Singing Christmas carols expresses our joy this time of year as we consider this and anticipate the celebration of Christmas to come. And as we think about joy, we've been looking at last week and today a moment in Mary and Elizabeth's life called the Visitation. And this is a moment where they come together and there is nothing but joy in all that we read here. Mary was informed by the angel Gabriel that she would give birth to the Savior, that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit, a virgin. So she's miraculously pregnant. She finds out that her cousin Elizabeth is also miraculously pregnant because she's beyond childbearing years. And so Mary makes a trip from Galilee, from Nazareth, down to Judah to meet with her cousin. And when she comes into the house and she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth has this reaction, just an outburst of joy. And we looked at that last week. And she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then she tells Mary that her baby leapt in her womb at the sound of Mary's greeting. Just a scene of pure joy. Then Mary reacts to what she's seen and heard now, and she's expressing joy. She expresses her joy in a song, in the first Christmas carol, what's been known in the church throughout the years as the Magnificat. She sings praise to God for the miracle that is happening inside of her. And in this song, she says some amazing things about God. And I want us to look at these things that Mary sings about God, four things in particular. She sings about God being merciful, being personal, being mighty, and faithful. So he is, or powerful, if you make the full in, merciful, personal, powerful, faithful. So first we're going to look at what she says about God's mercy. She sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Notice what Mary calls God. Mary calls God her Savior. You see, that's humility. To call God her Savior means that she recognizes her need for a Savior. She's making a confession that she is a sinner in need of God's salvation. So Mary is humbled by the coming of the Savior, humbled by his mercy. Mary shows us then how we are to receive Jesus as he comes. He comes to be our Savior, and we have to recognize that he is our Savior, and that means we have to admit that we need his salvation that he offers, because he comes to save sinners from our sins. Jesus coming to be our Savior humbles us to see our need. So the first thing that Mary reveals to us in her song is God's mercy. Second thing we see in Mary's song is that God is personal. He cares for each of us individually. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary was a peasant girl. and would have been easily overlooked by society. But God doesn't overlook her. God chooses her for his mission to bring the Savior into the world. He chooses Mary to be the mother of Jesus. Mary recognizes what God has done for her. He realizes that God cares for her, that God loves her. And the same is true for all of us. God is not some impersonal force. He's not some unmoved mover who is not concerned about what goes on in our daily lives. He's deeply concerned what goes on in our lives. He was so moved by what was going on in the world that he sent Jesus into this world. And in Jesus' ministry, Jesus often is described had compassion, this deep inward feeling of compassion for people who are in need. And that was often how he's described as he's going around teaching and healing. He's very much concerned with each person individually. And he's a personal God who cares for each one of us individually. The essence of faith, you see, is knowing that God deeply cares for you. Yes, we know that God loves the world, but you have to understand God loves you. When he died on the cross, he died for the world, but he was also thinking of you. Now, Martin Luther really hits this hard and speaks about this and articulates this well in the catechism, where he is in small catechism, he explains the second article to the Apostles' Creed. And he explains it like this, and it's very personal the way he explains it. He says about Jesus, he has purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, so that I may be his own, Luther says. Mary knows that God cares for her personally, because God is personal. God seeks to have a relationship with us. This baby that comes at Christmas was born for Mary, and he was born for you and me. Mary sings in this first Christmas carol about God's mercy. He is merciful, and he is personal. And then we also see in Mary's song, she sings about how God is powerful. Mary sings, his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. Mary uses a frequently used biblical image that's frequently used in Scripture about the arm of the Lord. And this is something the psalmists often use about the arm of the Lord is his power and his might, and no human can thwart God's power, his powerful arm. Mary marvels in God's might, that this miracle is happening inside of her, that she, though she's a virgin, she is now with child. But here's the real mystery of Christmas, because Mary is singing about the mightiness of God, and certainly it's a miracle, no doubt, that she's pregnant. But look how God comes. In the person of Jesus Christ, God comes not in power, but in meekness and in weakness. He doesn't come to the palace to reign on a throne in Jerusalem. He comes to a peasant girl born in a manger. Comes as a baby, the most vulnerable, weakest thing you can possibly imagine. And at this point, he's inside Mary's womb, weak and vulnerable. How is this great? This doesn't seem great at all. See, but when you think about it, I mean, God's comes to establish a relationship with us. And how is that going to work if God doesn't come to us? We can't come to God to have a relationship. He has to come down to us. The greater has to condescend to the lesser. I mean, all you parents know this is true. When you have a toddler, if you want to interact with your toddler, how do you do that? Well, you get down on your hands and knees, you play with rubber balls and blocks, and you make noises, and you hope no one can hear you, and you goof around with them on their level. You don't invite your toddler up to the table and challenge them in a game of chess. You don't try to engage them in a philosophical debate. And because you go down on the floor to play with your toddler on your toddler's terms, that doesn't make you any less an adult. The greatest display of God's greatness is displayed in weakness. That He would condescend to our level, to reach out to us, to have a relationship with us. He came as a baby and His power was hidden. And then on the cross, He looked completely weak and defeated as nails were driven in His hands and His feet, and He was mocked. And He was so vulnerable, He died on that cross. Where was the power in that? It was in His death that He destroyed the power of death in us. He destroyed the power of sin, and it can no longer condemn us. By His death and resurrection, He brings us into His kingdom. And so along with Mary, we praise Him for His might, because His might is most powerfully shown in weakness, because He comes to save sinners. So along with celebrating the fact that God is merciful, personal, and powerful, the one more thing we see in Mary's song, we see that God is also faithful. Mary sings, "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and his offspring forever." With the Savior now coming into the world, Mary recognizes that God has been faithful to a promise, and God's people have been waiting a long, long time. This is a promise that was given to Abraham. Thousands and thousands of years as people waited. Actually, it was longer than that. This was a promise given to Adam and Eve. The promise of a Savior. And finally, here He is. God is faithful to His promise as this baby is now in Mary's womb. God is making Mary part of His plan. She sees that this rescue mission of God includes her. She's going to be the mother of our Savior. She plays her part, and we play our part. We too are part of the mission. See, we have been saved by this mission to now be people in mission, sharing the Christmas joy that our Savior is born, that He was born for you and me. Mary sees the gospel and it shakes her to her core. She sees her unworthiness and this humbles her as she sees that God is using her to come into this world. But she also sees this incredible honor that God is giving to her. She is being exalted here and she says, "All generations will call me blessed." The Savior changes Mary. He humbles her. She sees her low estate. Yet He exalts her because she's going to be privileged to have this position and because her Savior has come to save her as well. And that's the message of Christmas. If we are listening to Mary's song, it humbles us because it tells us our need for a Savior. It shows us just how sinful and wicked we are, but it also lifts us up and exalts us because the Savior who comes to us comes to save sinners, to make us children of God. Now we have a position of honor. Jesus comes and completely changes everything about you and me. And that's why Mary sang. And that's why we sing today. And so as we anticipate Jesus' birth at Christmas, we sing praises to our Lord along with Mary because He is merciful to save us sinners. He is personal and deeply involved in our lives and comes to have a relationship with you and me. He is powerful to accomplish salvation for us. And He is faithful to keep His promise to send a Savior and to be with us forever. And so we sing along with Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.